Hey guys, welcome to the Matt and She podcast. We're here on episode 5. To all our accounting listeners, well done. You soldiered through January tax season. Congratulations. And boy, have we got a treat for you for this episode. Shaheen, tell them about it.
So today we've got Julian Buck, Director of Partner Services, on the podcast. This one was super interesting.
100%.
I mean, Partner Services has played such an important role at Xero. And I think a lot of accounting partners that use them in very different ways. So we'll touch upon it in the interview. But basically, partners engage at different times in their cloud journey. It's just interesting to kind of get Julian's thoughts on the current state of things in partner services, how they're adding value to firms, and kind of where those services are going to evolve to and get to.
Okay, sweet. Let's just go straight into it. Here we go. So we're here with Julian Buck, Director of Partner Services here at Xero. Julian, thank you so much for joining the podcast. How are you?
You're welcome. I'm very well. Really good, thank you.
Grand. Yeah. Fantastic to hear. So kicking things off, why don't you tell us a bit about yourself and what you do here at Xero?
Okay. So I am the Director for Partner Services. And what that means is that my teams in education and partner consulting are in place to help our beloved channel, our accounting partners, get the most out of Xero on behalf of their customers. So, yeah, so we're, if you like, the enablers of user taking our technology and actually putting it to best use on behalf of that partner and ultimately on behalf of their customers. That's why we exist.
The way I see it is we wouldn't be able to do our jobs without you guys,
right?
Like 100%. Right.
Yeah. Well, and vice versa, right? So, you know, if we're not as successful as we are in marketing and selling our software, then actually there's not a lot for a consultant or for an education person to do. So I think we work hand in hand.
It's like if you've got a partner who's, for example, preparing for MTD, I think the help that goes beyond let's buy some Xero subscriptions that kind of go beyond what kind of education pieces do your staff need?
Exactly.
How can we implement Xero into your workflows?
Yeah.
I guess those things are obviously key to success, right?
Absolutely. So as we all know, there is a momentum around Xero that seems to be accelerating rather than decelerating. We get used to that within this company. But what that means, as you quite rightly indicate, is that the pressure, if you like, and it's welcome pressure, to get the most out of an increasing volume of Xero subscriptions, in particular in the UK, it just gets bigger and bigger. And what we don't want, nobody in Xero just wants to, push or sell Xero without it then having a beneficial and consequential impact, both on the efficiency of the partners that are making that commitment, but also their customers. Yeah, we exist to make the life of a small business that much more efficient and profitable and quick and easy. And unless we're helping our partners and supporting our partners doing that on an increasingly, larger volume, then we're sort of failing in that objective, I think.
Do you find yourself as for the firms that are maybe leaning towards almost fully Xero, do you find yourselves as like an extension of that firm almost?
We do. I mean, and we take the title partner very seriously. So when we're making decisions within our teams of people, we try and think as a partner. So what would the partner perhaps need? But both from an education and consulting point of view, are there customers within this partner that have a need for some bespoke education, or do they have a complex tax requirement that needs one of our specialists on the tax side to engage? So very much so. We are. On the one hand, servicing over 8,500 partners, we can't send a consultant to every one of those, as much as we'd like to. And so we have to offer, if you like, generic vanilla services that we think the majority of our partners would welcome and appreciate and put to good use. But then, of course, we recognize that, no two partners are actually the same, and people have clients that are very vertically different, or they have a specific requirement that we need to make sure that we don't ignore. So that's why we have the teams that we have, and we have the flexibility and the adaptability, I think, that we need. It's worth saying that most of the people within, definitely all of our consultants and most of the people in the education team have come from practice themselves, you know, and that's not by accident. We do that because, as well as being great software people, they also understand what it's like within practice, how under pressure sometimes practices are. You know, there's never enough hours in the day to service customers. Migration is and deployment is something that all of our partners want to do, but finding the time to do it is sometimes challenging. So we know that by empathizing and appreciating that and respecting that, then you know, we're going to be able to offer our services in the way that's most welcomed by the partners.
I think those consultants are so valuable, and from speaking with partners, they just love that almost peer-to-peer level of advice, because they've been there, done that, got the T-shirt. And I think that's different to what they're perhaps been used to historically. So I guess dealing with thousands of firms that you're across the UK, have you found as a team any common trends in the industry, especially about MTD?
So the common trends are often not technology-oriented. So it's more about change within the practice. A large number of our partners are extremely well-established businesses in their own right that have become successful by offering great services in the past through desktop software. And this revolution that we're seeing now in cloud accounting is, for them, a big deal. You know, it's the fundamental change in how they deliver their services through technology to their clients. And we really appreciate that that isn't something that any business would do lightly or without doing their due diligence. So I think if there's a common trend, it's whether it's a large, you know, partner that has 1,000 customers, or you know, a smaller bookkeeper that maybe only has a few, that fundamental shift in using a different technology or a different platform, if you like, in order to offer services is a risk. And so we believe that it's our job to take the best of our experiences in working with some partners that have already come on this journey with us, and using those experiences to lessen and minimize that risk, such that our partners that are nervous or anxious about, you know, whether or not they should go forward with us, have the best advice, world-class advice and world-class experience, such that they know they're not on their own, they're not taking a plunge, they're not taking unnecessary risk, and they're going to get the benefit of a track record of partners that have done it. So we're able to articulate the challenges, the risks, how to organise a project, and as I say, how to minimise that risk of getting it wrong. Mm. And you know, no partners have ever got it wrong, but it's a journey.
Yeah.
And some partners like to go very quickly, and they establish a project and they want to zoom through it in order to get the return on the investment in zero sooner. Some, and no right or wrong answer here, but some just want to take it more slowly and try using the Xero platform for a set of customers, or, you know, a certain office perhaps within the UK, learn from that experience and then spread it out in a more cautious way. And there's no right or wrong answer there. But to come back to your question, I think that's a common thread. It's it's more of an appetite for change, and how Xero can engage to lessen the risk of this shift in using a different platform, particularly when we're talking desktop to cloud. More than anything else. It never, in my experience, it never comes down to the technology itself. We believe we've got the best product on the market. But, you know, we've never seen a pause or a delay or a failure in a project because, you know, there's a technical problem. It's more about people and engagement and using my team's experience to the best benefit.
Mm-hmm. Sticking on the common thread, I mean, I want to be a little bit more controversial.
Sure.
And just ask the question of winners and losers. I mean, I think there is clearly a journey, right?
Yeah.
I think as salespeople, we almost appreciate that as well.
Yeah.
On a daily basis, because you find that some people are, you know, maybe far behind on their journey, grasp at one idea and then run with it and then really speed up their journey when they find out that there's something that can unlock capacity in their firm.
Yep.
And on the other hand, there are people that maybe quite haven't found that yet, right? They haven't found the momentum or there hasn't been that mindset switch to go, right, okay, we're taking this and we're running.
Yeah.
What have you seen as kind of been the common factors that have led to successful firms and maybe not so successful firms?
Okay, and that's a great question because there are, you know, I can think of a number of examples where it's gone slowly and where it's gone quickly and varying degree. They've all been successful, but to a different level. The ones that are characterized, that I would characterize as being really successful have been led from the top. So somewhere, you know, maybe a partner or even a business owner within a practice embraces this change and is able to articulate it and communicate it to his or her company and then take that company with them on that journey. And so conversely, where that doesn't happen, and maybe you've got a lack of strategic direction for an organization, then it becomes a bit of a skunk project. And what you tend to find, or in our experience, what we see is a certain office or even a certain individual will be turned on by this opportunity and take it upon themselves, take their own risk maybe in getting some of their own portfolio of customers over to zero and make a case internally and perhaps a job for themselves internally, that they then broadcast upwards and sidewards. And sometimes that works, but in the main, it's where somebody high up, maybe on the board, maybe the owner or a senior partner within the business says, you know what, we've got to go on this journey because we're going to get great efficiencies. Our customers are going to enjoy a much richer experience. It's going to allow us to grow our advisory portfolio, perhaps. And for sure, it will allow us to be more competitive in our marketplace. The other thing that I would say is, as well as that, is the most successful projects that I've seen have been characterized by what we call a zero champion within the business. So somebody that is not necessarily tech savvy, but is excited by the prospect of moving to zero. And so you tend to find that they're the first ones that zoom through our advisor certification and then payroll certification. And then before you know it, they're migration certified and they're in Milton Keynes or they're dragging our people down to their site. And that's wonderful. We love to see that. Mm. And I would say that, again, going back, so if you have somebody senior driving the project, but also someone that is infectious in their enthusiasm and makes, you know, some or gains some early wins, you know, so maybe identifying a number of businesses that are really crying out for zero, deploying those with zero partner services help, making a success of it, then showcasing it internally. Before you know it, that ball is rolling down the snowball is rolling down the mountain, and it just gathers momentum. So it's a long way of saying somebody at the top taking real ownership and making representation across a business, but then someone or a small group of people taking that ball by the horns and getting some early wins and getting the enthusiasm behind that project.
I would say the firms that we work with generally, and this is going to lead me to my next question, is firms that we work with, we generally find it's either the partner that's trying to drive the project or a zero champion. So exactly what you said.
Yeah.
But who's responsible for the buy-in for everybody else, I think is an interesting one to think about, because do we take it upon ourselves to go into that firm and try and get the buy-in of more individuals or departments or offices? Or is it up to really like this inertia within the firm to create this buy-in?
So, and again, that's a really good question. So I think Xero and the whole vendor community has to be appreciative that our partners and their partners are themselves businesses operating in a very competitive landscape with MTD around the corner, with ever more demanding customers. And the last thing that we really want to do is put them under more pressure in order to do what suits Xero Corp. Mm. Now, that might be quite controversial, obviously, because we're a high growth company. Every year we see massive double-digit growth within our business. But I think, you know, you guys know that we hold our partners in extremely high regard, and we don't ever want to become the type of organization that is known for being pushy, for being disrespectful of our partners' own planning and strategic direction of moving to the cloud. Some want to go slow for very good reasons. That's okay with us as far as we're concerned. We want to be there to offer and advise and de-risk a project. And obviously, we would like to see partners come 100% to Xero as soon as possible, but not at the expense of losing that great relationship that we have within the channel. That's, we hold that very, you know, close to our hearts, I think.
That's really interesting. So one thing that you did touch on was making tattoos, of course.
Something
which engulfs our day-to-day working lives. So what are your thoughts on the legislation, and why do you think, I'm assuming you do think, partners should see this as an opportunity for their business?
I do. I mean, I've seen our product, obviously, and I think that the capabilities that we're bringing into the product are super sophisticated and definitely fall into that bracket of hashtag beautiful. You know, and we concentrate on that different part of the company to what I look after, but we seem to yet again have pulled off something that is quite process and technically specific in a with a fantastic user interface and an emphasis on it being easy to use. So you know, and that served Xero very well for the last 12 or 13 years. You know, I think that's been our one of the reasons that we've been so successful and allowed us in the UK to be the number one solution, because we have a fabulous product that's built for accountants rather than technical people, and just works, right? And has an emphasis on being efficient and smooth. So I think that that is what's at the core of our success. We, you know, what we have seen over the last year is peaks and troughs in demand and activity. So it's been quite difficult for us to anticipate demand. We're certainly, though, seeing, I would suggest over this last quarter, more and more of our partners working with the consultants, but also with education on us helping them segment their client base and think about, you know, reprioritizing who they get onto the cloud because of MTD, and that's all really positive. And just on education, so what we've done, you guys probably know, but for the benefit of the listeners, we now have, you know, we understand that taking time out of a busy practice to not only understand MTD legislation, but understand Xero's approach to compliance with MTD takes time. And so therefore, if we're asking people to come through our e-learning or even classroom training in order to be able to service their customers that are MTD specific, then we should reward that. So that gave rise to our MTD Ready badge. So if employees of our partners come through and take our migration certification, then it's a small step from there to get the MTD Ready badge. And we feel that that's worth awarding, because then it says on our partner directory for those small businesses looking for the best possible advice in the UK, when they go onto our directory, they will surface up those, you know, maybe they're, you know, a small building company or plumbing company or whatever they are, they've had a letter from the HMRC advising them about making tax digital. They think, blimey, it's time I should engage with an accountant. We want them to be able to search for an MTD ready accountant. So that's what all that's about. And I have to say, that has been extremely successful. So we're just getting people almost banging down our door saying, you know, we want to get MTD ready. And because for them, you know, that's a competitive advantage.
Yeah, 100%.
From the guys down the road.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Totally.
I think when that trifecta comes together of the partner being engaged, the kind of offering that Xero gives outside of the software, and then the power of the software, when those three things come together, it's extremely powerful, right? Yeah. And the momentum that can be built behind that, it goes way beyond the compliance needs of MTD and kind of drives that firm into the future.
Yeah, and hopefully, you know, we're a very partner-driven organization, so what we want to see is a solution freeing up time for our partners so that they can then redeploy that time and resource into their business and grow it and maybe offer new services to their existing base. You know, it isn't just about, you know, providing a gateway into the HMRC and, you know, we tick that box. We've taken the opportunity with the richness of the solution and the emphasis on making it as smooth and efficient as possible to free up and to be a benefit to the practice, not just, you know, ticking that compliance box, technically.
Speaking of new services, so what does the future of partner services look like? Like, what's your vision for...
How long have you got?
Well, as long as you want, Julian. I mean, what does it look like? Like, where do we go from here as, again, the snowball kind of continues to build? Okay. And how exciting can it really get in partner services?
Okay, so... I mean, let me just rattle off a few for you. So we're on the education side, we're recognising that although we've got the Experience Centre here now in the Milton Keynes office for any one of our partners to use, we're taking our education services much more on the road. So we're in Q4 at Xero at the moment, therefore we're budgeting for next year, and we really are putting an emphasis on... Although we're a cloud-based company, we still have hashtag human as one of our values, and we think there's no substitute, actually, for taking our services out on the road. So our partner community can expect us to be in their local city, if not on their own premises, offering bespoke education, but also advisor cert, payroll cert, and migration certification. So that's one of the things we're doing in education. Another is, and this is really by demand, so because of the richness of our ecosystem, a number of our partners are using that as an opportunity to open up within their practices a new revenue or service line. And that is about packaging together, you know, maybe a retail app or a vertical app, as well as maybe perhaps, you know, a solution like Go Cardless or Stripe. And they want to offer these services in more of a packaged way as a solution to their businesses, rather than perhaps putting them onto Xero for cloud accounting and then going back to them a year later to talk about what other needs they might have. So a number of our partners have seen that as an opportunity. And we think, therefore, in education, there's a space for us helping the partners that want to move in that direction understand how to do that, not just from a technical perspective. So we won't be talking about APIs and, you know, swapping data in and out of apps, but what it will be doing is helping our partners devise ways in which they may be able to package solutions. So Xero at the core, plus some maybe vertical, but also some horizontal apps that actually apply to their business customers in a more rounded and complete way than just, it's central to everything, I know, but just the accounting solution that Xero provides. So that's a couple of things in education. In consulting, we, as I touched on earlier, we're growing the team. We now have a new, or relatively new, internal team. So we recognize a large number of our partners may want some consulting help. So it isn't quite what we would call CX or product support, but it is some advice on where they are in their project, what should they do next, do they need some more education, how can they get momentum back. And so we've got a team of internal or inside consultants that all of our partner community can engage with on just a phone call or Google Hangout or Skype or Zoom or whatever it needs to be, just to get that, you know, point by point advice and help without, you know, scheduling a consultant to come and see them for a day. So that's one of the things that we've done to address that kind of volume area. The other thing that we're just in the process of doing actually is two things. So we're concentrating on offering discovery calls in the sales process. So making sure that a consultant is alongside one of our salespeople, really understanding from a technical, when I say technical, I don't mean software, I mean accounting, workflow kind of perspective, how Xero might be able to help that practice. So we're engaging a lot more in the pre-commitment part of what we do. And then lastly, what we've seen is that because of MTD, we need to allocate some resource specifically to MTD. So all of our consultants, we have a grading or a skills matrix internally that allows us to assess which consultants are stronger in which parts of our product and what experience do they have. And I'm happy to say that the whole of the team understand MTD like you wouldn't believe. So
it's good to know.
Yeah, it is good to know. I mean, yeah, would have dropped something there if that wasn't the case. But we want to reflect that a bit more specifically. So we are allocating a number of our team, both internally and in the field consulting team, to be specific MTD consultants. So that if a partner need some real expert advice and it's only MTD, it's not the edges of the rest of the product or ecosystem, they just want to get clarity on MTD, what it means for their customers, what they need to think about, do they need to re-engineer or redesign their workflows, then they can book an MTD consultant from Xero to come and help them with that. And so that's, I guess, I mean, we've always been able to do that, but I think what we're now doing is saying this is a distinct service in itself that we're now offering, and that's ready to go.
All such interesting, valuable services. I think we all agree from speaking with our partners, they just love what we can do.
Good. I guess... Before we leave what's next, we are also wanting to embrace and give the opportunity to our partners the introduction to other products, right? So XPM as a product, Xero Work Papers. Your listeners will know that we acquired Instafile relatively recently. We think that that gives us a lot more attraction in the market for back office practice management solutions. So again, we're investing in the consulting and the education teams to make sure that where, and we do anticipate a demand here over the next 12 to 24 months, where partners have already got the full benefit of our product for their end users, that they continue to build their relationship with Xero such that they rely upon our fabulous technology to help them in their own practices. And that's not just XPM and Work Papers, but it's also using Xero themselves. You'd be surprised how many of our partners are already using Xero for their own businesses extremely successfully. And we see a correlation actually between Those partners of ours that have embraced Xero internally within their own business, and then, you know, it's, they'll cobble his shoes kind of thing, you know. So if you're using it yourself internally, and you know that that by osmosis is percolating into the rest of the organization, you're much more likely then to be you know, singing its praises and commercially offering it as a you know, if you love it yourself, you're more likely to impart that message to your customers. So we're helping our partners more and more in using Xero for their own practices. And I'd encourage anybody out there that's listening to this that hasn't perhaps considered using Xero within their own practice, then they should get in touch with us and we can help them do so.
So true. So I guess switching things up a little bit, you spoke about partner services, MTD, of course.
Yeah.
Tell us about Julian the man. What gets you up in the morning? Oh. What drives you?
Right. So I'll confess to being...
And don't tell us about your Lamborghini. What drives you mentally?
Yeah. My son's toy Lamborghini, yes. first thing is to say I'm not an early bird. I'm a night owl.
Okay.
Right? So, but I do get out of work bright and early, actually, because... I've worked for a number of software vendors, most of them actually mid-range ERP vendors, okay. Very server-oriented, giving away my age now, but, you know, those organizations have enjoyed growth, sometimes not. I remember working for a couple of organizations where 5% annual growth in maintenance revenues, that's what we used to call it. You know, it wasn't subscription. You bought a license and then you paid for maintenance, which basically was a promise that we'll fix your product if it goes, you know, if we introduce a bug, and we'll give you some support, you know, if we can get around to it. Those organizations, you know, if it was 5% growth, that was fantastic. Now what we're seeing in this organization is hyper-growth. And even though we're certainly not a startup anymore, Xero is the only company that I've ever worked for which seems to get or hasn't lost that adrenaline and that energy and that passion, even though we're by no means a small organization anymore. And so coming to work doesn't feel like coming to work. It is an exciting place to be. It's a fun place to be. The values are genuine. You know, I've worked for a number of companies where, you know, there's a mission statement or there's some kind of, you know, our people are our asset. You know, and it's tucked away somewhere in a board report or, you know, as a slogan on our website. But it doesn't really actually mean that much. But here, it very, very much is the case that we, you know, we have pressures and we have deadlines and we have targets. Of course we do. But I think the culture here is unique. And so... You know, I never get out of bed thinking, oh, another day at work. We all have good days and bad days, of course, but every day it has the opportunity for you to enjoy yourself. And I think that's what makes it special. The other thing also is the partners. So, on the partner services side of the business, because we don't charge for those services, we're genuinely here to help. It's, you know, we're providing a service that needs to evolve. You know, everything in Xero never stands still for 5 minutes. But, you know, that's a pleasure to be able to listen to our partners, to think how we can help them more, how we can de-risk their projects, and genuinely think, you know, and imagine and design and develop services to that end is... You know, it's just the best job in the world. You know, from a services guy that's been working for some more corporate and more resistance to change kind of cultures themselves, coming here and, you know, sort of being in an atmosphere where everything is possible and anything is possible, and, you know, let's not be afraid of asking silly questions or coming up with silly ideas. Let's challenge ourselves. it means that every day, you're never bored, right? So the imagination and the ideas and the harmony, I think, between not just services but across the organization in embracing the channel, helping the channel, you know, go through this journey that we're all on, I guess, together in the most positive way is a delight. I love every day. I really do. And I'm really good. So here's what I'm really lousy at. Darts, lousy. Table tennis, lousy. I am Zero's number one at foosball.
Interesting. That sounds like a challenge.
Yeah. Unbeaten.
Okay.
So bring it on.
I think there's a couple of people who will put up to challenge you.
Bring it on.
Awesome. Well, great way to end. I guess lastly, if any of our listeners want to get in touch with you, what's the best way to get in hold?
So let me put my number out there, right? So who cares?
Home number, mobile number.
Address. So my mobile number we can't put it on the screen because it's a podcast. So,
if you're on like Twitter.
Put me out there. 07703021963, and I'll repeat that. 07703021963. My email is julian.buck@0.com.
Can I just say that's very brave?
Yeah, well,
a lot of our guests put out their Twitter profile or LinkedIn handle, but that is very brave.
You know, and it's genuine. So, you know, any listener that wants to find out more about how we can help, or they have ideas. So we don't have all the best ideas, actually. Most of our partners have the best ideas about how we can help them. Clearly, they're the receivers of the service. So I would genuinely love to take calls, to take emails, and to engage and to swap experiences about how Zero can further develop what we do in my teams in order ultimately to reduce risk and to help them through this journey that they and we are on. Yeah. Awesome. Give me a call.
What a gent. Julian, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much, Julian. We could have literally spoken for hours and hours. Right, that was super interesting. But thank you for being on our podcast, and we'll catch you around soon.
Until next time.
Cheers.
Thanks.
Thank you so much again to Julian Buck for spending time with us on the Matt and Shaheen podcast. Again, super, super interesting guy. I love what we're doing in the partner services team, and I know there's just going to be so much more value being delivered to our partners, MTD and post-MTD.
Yeah.
So thank you all for listening. If you wanted to reach out to us, you can reach me at Shaheen Budrani on Twitter.
Yep, and me, it's at Matt Lucas Tweets on Twitter as well.
It's amazing. We've made it to episode 5. Onwards and upwards. We'll see you guys in episode 6.
See you then. Cheers.